Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? No. Republican Party? No. This is the Wednesday night Bhagavad Gita Club. Almost. Shema Bhagavatam. Okay. And you're on a certain verse, chapter, canto now?
We are
That's it?
To do hard. I guess second chapter in second canto.
Okay. 2-2. 2-2-2?
You can talk generally.
Okay. Okay.
I have the wrong one.
2-2-8?
Yeah.
Oh, 2-8. Oh, okay. 2-2-1. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. 2-2-8.
We're just doing one chapter each month. So.
Okay. Oh. Huh. There she is, eating plastic. It's good. It's good. No, that's our piggy plastic ones. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Evam Puradarayanatma Yonir Narshtam Smritim Pratyavarudya Tushtat Tatasa Sarjidam Amoga Dristir Yatapyayat Pragviya Visaya Budhi. Sukadeva Goswami said, formerly, prior to the manifestation of the cosmos, Lord Brahma, by meditating on the Virat Rup, regained his lost consciousness by appeasing the Lord. Thus he was able to rebuild the creation as it was before. So the Srimad Bhagavatam is complete in 12 cantos. And the first two cantos are Krishna's lotus feet. Cantos 2 and 3 and 4 is his thighs. 5 is his navel. Like that. The 10th canto is his smiling face. It's a literary incarnation of God, Srimad Bhagavatam. So the second canto, in the first canto, is a preface. Who is Maharaj Parikshit? Who is Sukadeva Goswami? Why are they meeting? What's the purpose of this book? It's all there. That's what a preface tells you. So finally, Krishna's finished his mission of incarnation. The Kali Yuga is coming. We have to have a new incarnation. And that incarnation is going to be Srimad Bhagavatam. And the father is going to be Sukadeva Goswami. And the mother is going to be Parikshit. Brahma says this, like that. Famous relationship. And then from their encounter, then comes Srimad Bhagavatam as a product of this meeting like that. And this potent interaction. You know? And so then the second canto, then actually this is the principal Srimad Bhagavatam, because there are many, many Srimad Bhagavatams in the Srimad Bhagavatam, like that. Right? But the principal one is Sukadeva Goswami talking to Maharaj Parikshit, questions and answers like that. And so in the second canto, then it starts with, what's the very first phrase in the second canto? Om. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So he starts his Bhagavatam class offering his respects to the son of Vasudev, son of Vasudev, Lord Shri Krishna, who is the all-opulent personality of Godhead. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the first chapter he describes a source of meditation. Because Maharaj Parikshit is asking, how can I get out of this body? What's the duty of a man during his life, and especially the time of death? So Sukadeva Goswami says, you should meditate on the Virat Rup. Right? The rivers are the veins of his body, carrying all the different juices and fluids and like from place to place like that. Right? The clouds are hair on his head. His eyes are the sun and the moon, like that. Yeah, the flowers are. Yeah, Krishna trying to smile at us, you know. So you see the flowers, you can smile back at them, like that. You know, like that. Yeah. So this is a very pantheistic meditation. And Prabhupada uses that word in some purports. In purports, pantheism. Yeah. Someone says it's all being caused by atoms and molecules. There's nothing other than biological evolution going on. There's a quote from Darwin at the end of his life, because he was seeing everything this way. He couldn't see flowers. He couldn't taste food. He couldn't enjoy personal relationships. He couldn't enjoy the springtime. It was all just the products of impersonal chemical evolution everywhere he was seeing. So the result of his philosophy was this totally sterile, dry view of nature. At that. And he quotes here from Eddington. Yeah. All right. today's, last night was a thoroughly structured program last night with a PowerPoint show. So if we're going to go from order to chaos tonight, discuss anything I wanted to. So here I have a bunch of quotes from Asmadi. We haven't got it. Well, okay. I don't have with me. All right. But Eddington talks about this, you know, about, you know, this mechanistic, structured view of life is actually very impractical in terms of dealing with what reality must be like. You know. So this meditation gives us some kind of the idea of personalism in reality, this integrated form like that. And this is his recommendation in the first canto, is meditate on these things. Just think about them. For example, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, among bodies of water, I am the ocean. So one time I was next to San Francisco Bay and I was just meditating on that, thinking about it. Then I was thinking, well, what would happen if all the water in the ocean suddenly just disappeared? Right? Think about that. What would you see? Big sea monsters with one eye flying around like that. Atlantis. You know? Would you see canyons?
Yeah.
How deep? Canyons? How deep? How deep? Yeah, yeah, 7 miles deep like that. It's a long way down. You know? And there's a continental shelf all around the continents. You go out, it drops down about 1 mile. You know, it's kind of all the way around the continents like that. So if you're walking out through the Golden Gate Bridge, you go on, there's sunken treasure ships and all these things lying around you, and, you know, Russian submarines like that. Oops, like that, yeah. And you go out, then all of a sudden you're standing there facing this like 1 mile deep chasm, this all directions, and as far as you can see, there's just like nothing, you know, and birds flying. Yeah. And one time we were in the temple in Berkeley, you know, brahmacharis, it was late at night, everything else was kind of closed up, and one man came knocking on the door, and, oh, hello, we're closed. He says, oh, I thought so, I just wanted to see a little prasadam left or something. Well, okay. And he was a sea cook, right? His father was a sea cook before him. So he was the son of a sea cook. And he came in and he said he was, you know, he was our devotee. He liked our philosophy and culture and stayed at the temple sometimes. And he just come back from one cruise on a ship to up in Alaska. And the water's up there. And it was a fishing ship. And it's pretty good size. Not real big, but good size. And he said he saw so many unusual things, you know, that science was telling us we understand everything. And Prabhupada said there's many miracles still. They said that traveling, one morning they were traveling across these flat, you know, Alaskan waters like that with the sun coming up. And then way in the distance there was something happening, and then the captain was looking, and they're all looking. And there was one sperm whale, young sperm whale coming out of the water. He was like maybe like 35 feet long or something, and coming all the way out of the water. And he was hitting the water with his tail. And again and again. And down below the water was full of blood, you know. So he was fighting with something. And after he got close enough to see this, the captain figured, there it is, that he didn't want to see what it was the sperm whale was fighting with. This 35-foot-long guy was fighting with something in the water big enough to, you know, it was full of blood. So he's, okay, just turn left here, we'll go another direction like that. So many amazing things, you know, in the ocean. All the big boats in the world, gigantic, no? But how big are they compared to the ocean? Do they make it, put any pressure on the ocean? Yeah? Like that. So Krishna says, among bodies of water, I am the ocean. So somebody, some yogi tells you, I am God, you are God, we are all God. It's like, God. You know what God is like? My God. All right. One man was going home with his new wife in a little horse cart, and the horse balked, wouldn't go. So he got out and he's yelling at the horse, and finally the horse started moving. Yeah. And he says, that's once. So they went a little farther, the horse balked again, wouldn't go. He's yelling at the horse, finally the horse goes again. He said, that's twice. Happened a third time, and the horse stopped. He went out and pulled a gun out and shot the horse right in the head and killed it. And his wife started screaming and yelling, that's a valuable horse, what are you doing? And he said, that's once. That's twice. anybody else have a cell phone? Okay. Yeah. So they were, you know, all these pantheistic appreciations. So in the first chapter, there's all these very beautiful meditations about the universe, pantheistic view. What's his name? The Sierra Club? Founder of the Sierra Club? No. John Moore? John Moore, no. Somebody else does. That sounds different. John Moore, no. Huh? No, no. Anyway, the founder of the Sierra Club. We see John Moore here. Yeah. Muir, yeah, John Muir, James Muir. Anyway, Mr. Muir, James Muir, John Muir. He was a very, very pantheistic guy. He would when he was traveling all over California, he discovered Yosemite Valley, all these places like that. And then one time there was a very big windstorm in the Yosemite Valley, and nobody was there but him from hundreds of miles. And he climbed all the way to the top of one very nice pine tree, way to the top, like 40, 50 feet, was hanging on in the wind like that, with the wind blowing for like 2 hours like that. You know, yeah, some of a very wonderful ride. You know? So this is the pantheistic meditation that Krishna is recommending in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, and we shouldn't neglect it. You know, you have your river rafting program. It's very nice. These things are very important. Get out there and see nature. Just confront Krishna. You know, and experience him directly. And it will purify and raise your consciousness. You won't be attached to gross things, gross pleasures, gross experiences. You'll want something, you know, glorious, you know, eternal, lasting, right? And so in the second chapter, he's saying, formerly, prior to the manifestation of the cosmos, Lord Brahma, by meditating on the Virat Roop, which is what he's giving, this universal form, regained his lost consciousness by appeasing the Lord. Thus he was able to rebuild the creation as it was before. Now he discusses the Vedic prayers. The way of presentation of Vedic sounds is so bewildering that it directs the intelligence of people to meaningless things like the heavenly kingdoms. The conditioned souls hover in dreams of such heavenly illusory pleasures, but actually they do not realize any tangible happiness in such places. For this reason, the enlightened person should endeavor only for the minimum necessities of life while in the world of names. He should be intelligently fixed and never endeavor for unwanted things, being competent to perceive the practicality of all such endeavors as merely hard work for nothing. Just beautiful, you know, ideas like that. You know. So what do the television commercials offer you? Right? You have one comment, the news is all bad and the commercials are all good. You know? You almost never hear any good news on television, right? The news, you know? And on the commercials, is there anything bad? It's all good, right? It's heavenly, you know, temptations of heavenly pleasures. You buy this, you'll get that, you'll get this and that and everything else. And, you know, so much heavenly phantasmagoria. That's the modern Vedas bewildering people's minds about these things. But they get no tangible happiness there. Yeah, to keep you a little taste of chilies. A little chilies in with the sabjis, you know. But actually the practical recommendation is to live very simply. You don't need stripes in your toothpaste. Right? Right? Prabhupada's philosophy, you don't even need toothpaste. Just take baking soda and some salt and, you know, do the same job like that. You know? Or else a stick, right? You know, cut some sticks from very certain trees and brush your teeth, you know. I was in Naimisharanya, and there's many very nice yogis lived there, big beards, very peaceful. And one side of one hill, there was like a little pathway, there was the side of a hill, and the earth was kind of clay type composition. And some yogi had just dug a little hole in the side of the hill big enough to crawl into and lie down. You take some grass from the forest and weave it into a mat, put some grass in the bottom to make it soft, put your mat on top, crawl inside, put another mat in front of the door, your body holds it there. Your body keeps the whole thing warm. Finished. Yeah. Economic development. Yeah. And the ashrams, they have free food for sannyasis, dry chapatis with no salt, and boiled potatoes. That's free. As much as you can eat, as long as you can eat it. And then they go to the forest. There's unlimited, like, fresh green vegetables and roots. And they collect like that. If you can live a very simple, pure life, you can stay there. with no problem. And they say that in Naimisharani, even the peacocks and the snakes don't fight. It's a very peaceful place like that. It's unlike Vrindavan. You know? And so this is what he's recommending here. Next, he'll talk all about these necessities of life and how to satisfy them one after another. Are there not ample flatly? Are there not ample earthly flats to lie on? What is the necessity of cots and beds? When one can use his own arms, what is the necessity of a pillow? When one can use the palms of his hands, what are the necessities of utensils? When there's ample covering on the skins of trees, this means palm trees, not pine trees. Yeah. What is the necessity of clothing? Are there not torn clothing lying in the common roads? Are there not abandoned palm pilots lying by the side of the street? It's America, you know. Yeah, yeah. And does not God maintain the surrendered souls? Fantastic purports, you know. So basically he's talking about this, you know, of then coming to this meditation, you know. Finally he'll come to this, to check text number 8. Others, now he's going beyond the Virat Rupa, others conceive the personality of Godhead residing within the body in the region of the heart and measuring only 8 inches with 4 hands, carrying a lotus, a wheel of a chariot, and a conch shell and a club. His mouth expresses his happiness, his eyes spread like the petals of a lotus, and his garments, yellowish like the saffron of a kadamba flower, are bedecked with valuable jewels. His ornaments are all made of gold set with jewels, and he wears a glowing headdress and earrings. His lotus feet are placed over the whorls of the lotus-like hearts of great mystics. On his chest is the kastuba jewel, engraved with a beautiful calf. And there are other jewels on his shoulders. His complete torso is garlanded with fresh flowers. Right. So now he's starting this Paramatma, right? First is pantheism, then is mysticism, which you find the same in every culture, this internal introspective view in life. I'm trying to find, if there's a spirit everywhere, it must also be within me, so I can just always be trying to appreciate it, relate to it, understand it. I tell a story that one time we were in Berkeley, and before the Sunday feast, say 10 o'clock in the morning, it was a nice sunny day, sitting in the lobby. A lot of things happened in the lobby there, you know. Two brahmacharis, myself, I was brahmachari. And one very tall, aristocratic-looking black guy came in like that, you know. And he said, my grandfather was the king of Haiti. It looked like he could have been, you know, and so on. And he said, and I died about 2 years ago. That seemed like a little doubtful, you know. But in Berkeley, you don't challenge people about these kind of things. It's kind of like, you know, it's an unusual place, you know. So he explained what had happened is that he had died. And the doctor came and, you know, tested his reflexes and everything else. There's no heartbeat, you know, there's no reflexes. The guy's dead, you know. So they sent him off to the hospital. And there was one nurse down in the mortuary there, reading her magazine, you know, checking in the bodies, checking them out. You know, so they put him in drawer number 7. Then after some time, she's sitting there and she hears this, like, you know. You know, she's reading her magazine and she hears this, like that. So she goes over listening to each of the drawers, and she finally comes to his drawer, and there's, you know. So she pulled the drawer open, and he sat up, and he said that she screamed, you know, and her hair turned white, you know, you know, and he screamed, you know. But she was a nurse, so she was trained, she knew that sometimes the heart goes down to beating like maybe once every 20 seconds or 30 seconds. See, if you check the pulse, there's no pulse. You know, it's enough to keep you alive. That's just what happened with him. And then some others started, accelerated again and started going like that. So she screamed for the emergency guys with the adrenaline and everything else like that, you know. But he said that during that consciousness, during that time, he came in contact with his higher self, something like that. And he said from that point on, he was never afraid. So it's one of the symptoms of the Paramatma. Jitatmana prasantasya paramatma samahita. Always peaceful, always happy. Chit. Always know what to do. So he said to me, sometimes I get in very difficult situations in bars, like that, you know. But I'm never afraid, because I can always look inside and find that, whatever it is, will always give me guidance to any situation, like that. So actually, yeah, he was Paramatma body. He realized, you know, this level. And so the Sukadeva Goswami is giving a whole meditation here. Chapter 1 is Brahman, Virat Rupa, pantheism. Chapter 2 here is what? Is Paramatma, mysticism, introspection. And in chapter 3, yeah, Bhagavan, pure devotional service, the change in heart. Well, he doesn't go in much detail. He finally just describes that when you come to this realization of actually seeing Krishna, then your heart will soften, there will be tears in your eyes and feelings of ecstasy and sentiments of pure affection like that. That's all he describes. He doesn't go in much detail. Yes, this is one unity, Spanish, unidad, unidad. This is one unit. And many times they're in three chapters. Sutta to the sages, three chapters. Narada to the Vyas, three chapters. And now, you know, this Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikrit, three chapters. It covers everything. Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Sat, Chit, and Ananda. Like that. Yeah. Now, so this chapter is very nice. It's a whole description of the Shanta Ras, in becoming very austere, very simple. You find this in Walt Whitman, one of our great American classic authors in America, The Song of the Self. You know, he said life is a road. Come out on the road. Leave that house you built for yourself or somebody else built for you. Okay, like that. Come with me. Be my comrades. You know, we'll enjoy the best fruits of the earth. We'll rub our backs on the banks of the rivers. Like that. Very pantheistic appreciation. You know, he said you'll know me by my symbols. A good pair of shoes and a waterproof overcoat. Like that. Yeah? Very nice, very sannyas. In this. It's very nice for preaching to Americans about this culture, this renunciation, this feeling like that. You know? He said, life is a road, a spiral. I meet the same men, the same women, again and again, but each time higher, higher. You know? Where does it go? I don't know, but it goes someplace good. Yeah? Like that. So this is a Paramatma body. He hasn't got a clear image of the goal. You know, Goloka, Krishna, right? But he knows, yeah, it's Brahman, it's good. It's good. But we have to just go on up, keep on going up. I'm tired. Come on. I'll be your comrade to the end. I won't let you go down. I come into the house. I chase out the doctors. I throw open the windows. Throw your arms around my neck. I swear to you, I won't let you go down. Come on. You know? It's very heroic. You know, poetry. It's nice, Walt Whitman. Some people are nice for preaching like that. Yeah. So this is Shantaras, Paramatma Bhada, appreciating this. And it's required to achieve this. You have to undergo severe austerities. You know, give up these connection with the material world. You know, and one yogi gives the example is that God's trying to land his airplane on your mind. He's trying to land it. So you have all these cars running back and forth across the airport. You know, this thought, that thought, this thought. What if should I rotate my tires today? What's going to happen with my retirement fund if this union goes through? It's like, you know, all these thoughts, you know. So as soon as jitatmana, as soon as the mind is conquered, jitatmana prasantasya, become peaceful. Paramatma samahita. And automatic. You don't actually have to do anything. Just calm the mind down, become peaceful, fix it. And then you start to discover there's, you know, advice, inspiration, intuition there. Right? You know? And so it's by extreme austerity. You can achieve this position of Paramatma. Like that. Who's a very famous example of a Paramatma, you know, a body yogi teaching us that system of yoga? Kardama or Patanjali? I think, you know, Patanjali's system is, of course, the most famous. You know, the Yoga Sutras, right? And then in the modern world, they became modernized in Bengal as Hatha Yoga. And Raja Yoga. And, you know, as far as reading these things, we agree with Patanjali in many things. He has a system of, you know, ayama, niyama, don't smoke, get up early, like that. Asana, you know, pranayama, pratyahara, you know, dharana, dhyana, samadhi. And then you should reconnect yourself with the Paramatma, just like a finger has been reconnected, disconnected, that's your problem. So yoga means to become reconnected to the Supreme Atma, the individual Atma. But in that position, there's no real positive service. There's no free will. We're surrendering to Krishna whatever he wants. It's like Shantaras, very good. But there's no idea of actively generating service to Krishna. What does he need? Not what he's asking for, but what does he need? You know, first-class servant figures out what the master needs before he needs it. Second-class servant always does what he's told. Third class servant, that's what he's told sometimes. Like that. Yeah? So he's preaching second class service in his idea. But we're saying, no, beyond that is this positive level of Krishna's friends, Mother Yashoda, you know, like that. You know, she's cooking lunch before Krishna's hungry, not when he gets hungry, you know, thinking like that. Yeah? Yeah. So this is this chapter. You find just intense austerities, you know. And then finally in the next chapter, this point of Bhagavan. Yeah. So any questions or comments, anything? Yeah. It's okay.
Where does the Paramatma Vadi go? And one who's meditating on Paramatma and leaves the body.
Yeah?
Does he attend a spiritual planet or like
No. Yeah. Let me give an example. It's kinda like maybe, you know, you can be in the kingdom. Following the rules and regulations. If you don't cause a disturbance, the king is okay, let him stay here, you know. But you don't want to know the king, right? You know. But if somebody else is more, you know, if somebody must just say, well, there is no government, there is no president of the United States, you know. And even if there is a president, it doesn't matter, right? We just have to follow the rules and regulations of the government, of the United States, and everything will be okay. Whose philosophy is this? Yes, it's a karma mimamsa. Maybe there's a God or there isn't, it doesn't really matter. Because the laws are what we have to follow, like that, you know, so on. So that's, you know, Brahman, impersonal, following the rules. And then Paramatma, okay, then, well, there is a White House. There is the, what we call it, this national capital and all these kind of things like that, you know, so on, you know. But then finally, there's a president who occupies the place. It's his house, right? You know, and so then that's finally the Brahmati, Paramatmati, Bhagavan iti shabdate. These three aspects are the same substance, just like ice, water, and vapor. Right? It's the same substance, you know, but the three categories. So Brahman is Krishna, is his effulgence. You know, Paramatma is the knowledge of him. And then Bhagavan is actually when there's some reciprocation. But only the Bhagavan relationship has enough happiness. In ecstasy to satisfy our desires for something. Otherwise, we're always thirsty. That's our nature, you know. So realization of Paramatma is realization of Kshiradakshay Vishnu. You know, realization of Garbhadakshay Vishnu is pantheism. Everywhere is the Supreme Soul, you know. And these three are still not pure, you know, not sufficient. So when there's no material world, there's no Paramatma, there's no Garbhadakshay Vishnu. But the material energy is eternal. So only realization of Mahavishnu, that one person is the source of everything, that's the first level of eternal Bhagavat Bhakti. Right? Yeah. But if we realize the Paramatma feature of Krishna, then he's giving us advice how to approach him, you know, as a person. Yeah. If we want that. Yeah? Yeah. It's very elevated. Question or comment? Yeah.
You were saying how the black son of the king.
Yeah.
He was able to see the higher self.
Yeah.
So he was kind of Paramatma realized.
Yeah.
But I guess that means there are different stages of realizing the Paramatma.
Uh huh.
Because certainly he wasn't a yogi.
No, well, maybe in previous life or something like that. That's why he was able to tolerate that, to do that. Somebody else would have panicked at that moment and left the body, but he was able to stay there, you know, like that. You know. But yeah, he was. Well, yoga means to link, you know. So when the linking is impersonal, is Brahman. When the linking is with knowledge, it's Sat, you know. And of course, you know, yogi namapi sarve sham. The final conclusion of yoga is to worship Krishna with faith, right? Yeah. He wasn't sure. He didn't know what it was exactly. Is it my higher self or is it something else? And the whole thing is an unclear realization of the truth. Probably gives the example that the British were putting in a railroad train. The railroad was coming and all the village people were wondering, what is a railroad? You know? So they saw the track going down, the station being built, and okay, on at Friday at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the train's going to come. So all these people came from the village, were all sitting there watching with their camels and everything else, and then course was Indian train, so 4 o'clock it didn't come, right? You know, so 4:30 didn't come. And finally, 5 o'clock, way across the valley, they saw this smoke, cloud of smoke moving. And some people were tired. They said, okay, we've seen it. We can go tell everybody. The train is a cloud of smoke that moves along the track. Okay. So a little while later, some guys stayed later, and they saw that within the smoke, there was this long snake that moved along the track. So, oh, now we know. It's a snake that smokes. You know, this kind of stuff. Okay, you know. So finally, some people waited. They came right into the station and stopped, and they saw insider people reading newspapers. There's a dining car. There's a captain, you know, like that. So the same thing. It's just that, you know, this, you know, the train is a cloud of smoke. This is a, it's an incomplete realization. Yeah? And so Brahman is, you can't really realize Brahman. You can't really realize the Paramatma because it's just limited. So you realize the Paramatma and you realize God. Yeah.
What's the pitfall of being an impersonalist and just being in the Brahman platform?
Well, it's the pitfall, you know. It's kind of like no pitfall. Pitfall kind of means the devil's out to catch you or something like that. But it's just unsatisfying. It's just not your natural position like that. We're people and we want personal relationships. Malati was giving this example. She says that everybody wants love. She says even an animal wants to be loved like that. And so, and there's no love in this. You know, it's like getting up in the morning and there's nobody in Boise, Idaho but you. You can do whatever you want to do. No one's going to bother you. It's very pleasant, you know, for some time, you know. So that's the Brahman we're talking about, the Brahman realization and personal realization is that it's sat. There is an eternity. Things will always go on. Be peaceful. The revolution you or I may die, brother, but the revolution is eternal. You know, so sacrifice yourself for the revolution. You know? So many people have this kind of realization of eternality. And it's very nice. You know? But it's not, there's no reciprocation. Yeah. 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 So you see? Yeah. 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 There's no personal reciprocation. How are you? You know, what's happening behind you? Yeah. Yeah. No, again, it's the beginning realization. But we're talking impersonal as opposed to, you know, personal egoism, as we're opposed to, you know, personal selfishness. And yes, they should give that up. That's the first lesson. That's what Arjuna wants to do in the Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning, he wants to give up this. He's selfish. He wants to get his revenge. He wants to get even with these people like that. He wants his queen to be happy with him. She's been bugging him for 13 years. She won't tie her hair up. I'm a widow. I haven't got any real husbands like that, you know. So he's like, here are their helmets at your feet. Thank you. You're my husband. You know. So he had this, in the beginning, he's a karmi. Not a bikarmi. He's a karmi. He wants to enjoy his in a legitimate fashion. But then he realizes this is going to cause problems for somebody else. And then Karna's wife, she's a decent lady, she's going to cry. I don't, you know, just give it all up. And you know, all these different varieties of personal envy, selfishness, give it all up. But he's not satisfied with that. It's not a stable position. So he surrenders to Krishna. And then Krishna says, yes, you should do your duty. Don't renounce your duty, but do it with intelligence, you know, without attachment to the results. Okay, then it goes more farther in chapter 3, he gives practical definition, 3:30. Mayi sarvani karmani. You know, do your karma, your dharma, for me. Okay? And now it's okay. I'm not just doing it because it's my duty, now I'm doing it because this pleases Krishna. I'm going to regain Draupadi's honor, not because she's my wife, not because it's just my duty as a kshatriya to protect ladies, but because Krishna wants this. Right? When they were insulting her in the end, her final defense was, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't try and desnude me in public because I'm a devotee of Sri Krishna. And that, you know, ha ha ha. So they knew what they were doing. You know, Duryodhana and everybody. Yeah. Yeah? Their philosophy, there's Shunyavadi, Mayavad, so many vads. So Mayavad is, the material world is Maya. It's illusion. Jagat Sat, Jagat Mitya, Brahma Satya, Jagat Mitya. Is their general slogan. The Brahman is truth, Jagat is illusion, myth, like that. But we say no, it's a temporary manifestation of the absolute truth for a certain purpose. It's just like you can say that prison life is illusion. Get a real life, you know. Get out of this prison. Let's break out. No, the prison's there for a certain purpose. If you're living properly in the prison, it's okay. There's a psychologist to help you with your problems. There's occupational training, you know. So when you get out, you have like a, you know, when you know, right behind you is the person I'm talking to. These personal relationships. I can talk to anybody, right? Just like that, but I'm talking to you, you know. And everybody else is relishing. Oh, it's a personal thing. So in the prison, it's a very nice place. Once you have proper attitude, you know, your father used to beat you every day. He used to, you know, rape your younger sister. And so you have a lot of emotional problems, you know. And you know it. And I need some help. Okay, there's a psychologist here. Let me start going to him, you know. And if I get out of prison, I have no way to make a decent living. Within 2 weeks, I'm going to be robbing people again. Well, there's occupational training here, you know. And okay, so I can learn how to do something. I can solve my problems. And when I get out, then I can live a nice life, you know, like that, you know. And I can try and my wife divorced me because I was a horrible guy. But I know that if I get it together, that she's still waiting for me, like that, you know. So let me get it together. This is a good place. Well, what about leaving? No, I'm not ready to leave. I'm glad that I'm here in this regular program. Then the whole prison becomes a very nice place. All the guards appreciate this. They help you. They, you know, like that. So it's nice now. I don't want to stay here forever, but right now this is where I should be. So this is reality. Yeah? Yeah? So that's our philosophy, right? You know, have the right attitude towards the thing as a prison guard here. Yeah. Not about the ideal prison. Not the state of where. Yeah? So we should have the Mayavad. One devotee thought it was when Prabhupada first came to America, he was talking about the Mayavadis. And Kirtananda Swami said he thought it was some small group in India that had harassed Prabhupada. So he had this grudge against him or something like that, you know. But then you actually read, you find, no, that they describe themselves as philosophy as Mayavad. It's like we're Chinta Beta Tattva, is our fundamental, you know, principle. Vashishtha Advaita Shuddha Advaita. Yeah. Yeah. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, most people in the modern world are vikarmis. And the lowest level of philosophy is just do any old damn thing to get what you want, like that, you know. And some people, then they're karmis. You see that in, you know, there's movies about this guy and that guy and this and that. And usually the conclusion is that he gets some kind of happy family relationship. That's your highest ideal nowadays. Is you do this and that, and Romeo and Juliet, and they live happily ever after. Or with his family was together in heaven or something like that. You know, some kind of idea, little idea of Pitriloka. We're discussing that. You know. And so that's kind of like, what's it called? Vikarmi does anything to get his results. A karmi follows the rules and regulations of civilized, decent behavior like that. You know. But of course, even that, there's, you know, details. You know, about, you know, also being nice to the animals too, like that. You know. Yeah, but so, you know, people above that, it's very rare to find people who are, you know, Mayavadis or Brahmavadis or Paramatmavadis, you know, like that. But if we're starting to go up in the Kali Yuga, you encounter these things. You know? Usually in Kali Yuga, what happens is that by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya or Krishna, you get a higher taste, some experience of the spiritual world directly. Then after that, you go through all the phases with that lighthouse in mind. You're not going up without not knowing where you're going. Yeah, I had a taste of it because of, you know, Brahmandi Brahmati Kom Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadi Paya Bhakti Lata Bees. A little taste of it. Wow, I want that. Okay, so you have to go through karma. You have to go through yoga. You have to go through jnana. You have to go through these things. You know, but with why? Because that's where I'm going, like that. You know, I want to go live in Hawaii. I had a free vacation there. That's the place to live. They're giving mangoes to the pigs. There's no mosquitoes, this and that. But I have to get a job there. I have to, you know, pay, you know, do this and that, this and that, this and that, this and that. Well, okay. But why? Well, because that's where I'm going. I'm going to Hawaii. Yeah? like that. And somebody else is going to school to make money, get a good job, get an education so he can get a good job to make money. Why? I don't know, but in life you need money. Well, okay, you know. But he doesn't know, you know, where he's going. Yeah. Yeah, so some point over here.
Oh, yes, yeah.
Pasquale, a great philosopher, said when that happens, he said, we should think, oh, this proves I'm mortal. You know, and we forget what we're trying to think about. Oh, we should remember, oh, I'm mortal. Yeah. Yeah. So, oh, yes, yes, sir. Well, Karma Mimamsa is one philosophy from, what's it from? Not Kannada. Jaimini. Yeah. His philosophy is very prominent, is that, well, even if there is a God, it's not a very practical question to worry about that. Because even if there is, we just relate to the laws. You know, it's like even if there is a chief executive officer or an owner of a Micron, it doesn't matter. The hell with him, you know. We just follow the laws of our particular division, our branch, and do like that. And then we're guaranteed to advance in the corporation, you know, like that. So in some ways, it's true because the lawmaker tolerates that kind of impersonal relationship with his employees and, you know, lets them go on like that. You know. But that's, you know, above karma is jnana. Above, you know, jnana is yoga, dhyana, yoga. And then bhakti. Yeah, it's one. It's an analysis of philosophy. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe we could open the windows. I don't know. No. There's no. Well, test our yogic powers here. Like that. Breathing once every 5 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. So, yes, sir. Yeah.
I was wondering, how is it that the soul is encased within the body?
Yeah.
In the sense that if we say that spirit is higher than matter,
yeah.
And Krishna Gita describes so many things that it can't be touched by matter, all these things. Then if we like go from this side of the room to the other side, then how is it that the soul goes along with the body, within that body?
No, this example is like, you know, it's a very nice day, and the moon, Chandra, starts to feel a little bit of pride about his, I've always heard how beautiful I am, I'd like to see like how beautiful I am, you know, enjoy my effulgence. Oh, it's a full moon day. Oh, the sun is shining right on me, reflecting me on the earth. Oh, to see how the earth is illuminated by my beauty, like that. But more. Oh, the beautiful white sands of Rajasthan. Do you see that? The moonlights, my moonlights. Oh, very nice. More. Okay, the Taj Mahal on a full moon day. Ah, oh, even better. You know, ah, oh, it's more. Oh, there's a beautiful tank of water with lotus flowers. Ah, oh, now I can see myself reflected in the amongst the lotus flowers. And then when a dog jumps in the pond, you know, and the whole thing moves. And ah, oh, I'm dying. Oh, like that. You know? So we become attached to ahankara. We become attached last night to buddhi, to manas, to indriya. And there's different levels. Bhumir apa na lovayu kam. Yeah. So we become attached to these different levels of detail. And so finally we're reflected, you know, within the senses. A little more subtly in the brains, a little more subtly in the heart, like that. But we're always separate from these things. But we're attached to our reflection. So the body moves around the room. That's the whole thing of what that means. Like discussing what is space, right? So we're attached to that, you know, that mirror. Yeah.
And soul, we think, is consciousness to the body. The soul must be within the body.
Otherwise, well, it's the same way that the moon is within the tank of water, right? Yeah.
So we're also reflected within the body.
Yeah. And this example, the kshetra, when the mirror of the heart is cleansed of dust, then you can see yourself as you are, you know, with all your qualities like that. You know, cheto dharpana marjanam. Yeah?
So then where is the soul actually resting?
Well, space is a product of sound, right? We discussed this last night. This is calm, ether, space. So space again is created, you know, by our own particular culture, like that. Again, our culture, children, babies when they're first born, they have, you know, the first thing they develop, according to Piaget, is set theory. They start putting things in different group, you know. Whenever the space comes, these hands come. So these are the hands and face are connected. Mother, like that. Different groups. The next is topology, rubber geometry, right? They get like limits and stuff, but they're like distortable, you know. Then Japanese babies start to live in polar space, right? You know, rho theta, like that. And if you see like Japanese cities, there's like a plaza with radial roads coming off, like that. But we have, you know, 24th and K Street. You know, we have this like, you know, rectilinear space, you know, like that. So at that point you develop, again, we discussed this last night, many things in sociology, anthropology, where we develop a certain kind of space we live in. You know, you get a whole lecture about that last night. So it's a product of our intelligence. It's a product of our community, right? That level. So you're asking this question, where is the soul? Well, first you have to answer, where is Microsoft Word?
Nowhere.
Yeah, it's a concept, really. Well, this is, here it is. Well, that's just one printout. I don't know how big it is in printouts, you know, or punch cards. It's a dinosaur. Yeah. Or where is love? You know. Where is justice? Where does justice reside? Yeah. Oh, yeah. So we're covered by concepts the same way. And it's a very detailed structure, very intricate, very refined. So the soul is very fine. The soul can live in this atmosphere, can occupy this prison of concepts and still be something separate. No. Yeah. So you have a long way to go. You know, how many times do you have to read this before you go deeper and deeper and deeper, appreciating, and then finally you begin to realize. I mean, when I read Prabhupada's purports, it was like when I was reading this before, it was just going over the surface, you know, and now I'm beginning to see. Oh, okay, here he's paraphrasing that verse. Here he's talking about this and that, and here he's talking about, and that's why he's quoting this here, because this and that, you know. So your logic becomes very, very fine in your understanding. And you understand, you become the most intelligent person in any situation. Prabhupada says a devotee catches up the essence of everything very quickly. You know, one lady, her daughter was like, her friends were saying, oh, you should go to school. You know, why do you go to school? To make money. Like, get an education so you can make money. She said, well, the goal is just to make money. Well, yeah, well, I can do that. So he started three businesses and hired her friends who had degrees and stuff to work for, because they couldn't get jobs, right? Their degrees, their diplomas, you know. Yeah. So that's the essence of the whole thing, is just to make money. You know, if you can do that, you don't need a diploma, you know. Like that, you know. If you got more money, they don't care like how educated you are. Yeah. So, very nice. I get to just go to Bhagavad Gita program. Anything else here? Okay, yeah. There we go. You can read that, right? Yeah, I don't like it. It's a rapid Sanskrit method by George L. Hart. And in his preface, he says here, how's it go? The Sanskrit language is perhaps the one thread which binds together the many disparate cultures of Hindu India. That would be reason enough for any student to learn it, but there are other reasons which are equally valid. Sanskrit, or Sanskrit-bhasya, the refined language, evolved from the tongue in which the Vedas were written sometime in the later half of the second millennium B.C., don't agree with this. Yeah. A language known as Vedic or Vedic Sanskrit. So he goes on like this, talking about things, you know.
That's pretty close to what we say. It's only 1,500 years off.
Okay. But our point is it's eternal, though. Yeah. In its original form. Okay. He's so talking about works on philosophy on this ago. Where are you going? So what do we find in the Sanskrit language? Buddhist Mahayana literature, works on aesthetics, the four Vedas, the Brahmanyas, Brahmanas, the Aranyakas, the Upanishads, grammars, epics, works on erotics, works on medicine, philosophy, theology, works on logic, dictionaries, astronomy, mathematics, law books, rituals, tantrism, architecture, history, panegyrics. What is that? Panegyrics?
Speeches against someone. Like legal
proceedings. Inscriptions, works on music and sculpture. On most of these subjects, there is an immense literature still extant. Indeed, a rough estimate of the works which will be listed in the new Catalogus Catalogorum yields a total of about 160,000 works still extant in Sanskrit. Many so difficult that it would take years of study to properly understand them. And while it would be wrong to suppose that every work in Sanskrit is of great aesthetic or scientific value, the fact remains that Sanskrit does have its share of great writers. Kalidas ranks amongst the greatest of all poets. Panini is without question the greatest pre-modern grammarian. The Mahabharata ranks with the Iliad and Odyssey, and the Bhagavad Purana is among the finest works of devotion ever written, being equal, in my opinion, only by other works in Indian languages. His wife is from South India, so he's got things like that. So on. Yeah. So very nice citations. We're actually collecting these on the... Even people, who, again, who say that the Vedas evolved, right? They also say that, yeah, but the best of all the evolution is the Bhagavad Purana. So even if you're taking it as evolution, still, this is the best literature, the best study, you know. Well, how can you make a living by studying this thing? Well, that's you know, just the Shudra's idea of life is that things are to make money, you know. But this is especially for the, you know, for Kshatriyas, for Brahmanas, you know, to develop a philosophical view of life, to develop an intense relationship of society and human culture like that. And if you have that perspective, then making money just becomes like a, you know, secondary endeavor like that, something you do like that, you know, without any extra effort, you know. So it's just to become a cultured gentleman. Become a cultured gentleman. The other things will automatically follow. If you put a flower garland on your body, you don't have to put a flower garland on your shadow, right? So if you become a gentleman, you know, or a scholar, then you don't have to worry about making money, right? It's just automatic. You know, income will be there, you know, like that. So what else we got? My bag of tricks. Dorabazan de Devoto, Poesia de los Pastores, Oriente y Occidente. Right? This is by Dorabazan Montenegro de Devoto. She has 5 doctorates. Her other name is Divyavani Devidasi. She's a disciple of Jayapataka Maharaj. And so she was studying these beautiful stories of a boy and a girl, these beautiful pastoral myths, you know, in South American literature. And they would have different games with their friends and loving exchanges like that. And sometimes when the young shepherd would play his flute, the river would become stunned and cease to flow. And the young calves, unable to take the milk from their mothers, would stand with tears in their eyes, unable to suck the milk from the milk bags. Yeah. So it was all in South American literature as a young girl. And she continued to study this. This is her doctorate and so on. Back through Europe to the second century in Flanders and different poets, and they were all giving respect to their previous acharyas like that. I got this feelings from so-and-so of Flanders and this. So she traced it all the way back to the Greeks, and that's as far as she could go. And so she got an emeritus professor position and everything else from that work. Then one time she was sitting in a gas station about 7 years later in Peru, and so one devotee came up with a Krishna book and said, "This is about Radha and Krishna and their pure transcendental love in India." And so she was like, so shocked, you know, that. So they bought every book the devotee had, and they came back for about 4 or 5 days after that, looking for them at the gas station, and finally found her again, and they, you know, got involved in ISKCON like that. And she found the same phrases, the same, you know, concepts, you know. So now it's being published like that. You know. This is Spanish. You translated. I have one copy. You can look at it for 5 minutes. You memorize the whole thing. He's teeter. Not 5 minutes. Yeah. So this is what last night we're talking about, these science programs. But the whole area of this academic literature and programs like that, this Sanskrit literature, so many ways to approach these things. You know? Because again, why do this? You know? Because this is where culture comes from. It starts in the universities, it starts this level. They write the textbooks, that comes down, and then people develop a certain view of idea of reality and who we are. You know, we're all made of meat, right? And life is to eat. And that's it, you know? You know, if you don't eat meat, what can you eat? And it's like that. My brother-in-law told me that. You know, saying, if you don't eat meat, what can you eat? Like that. You know, well, I guess it's fact. You know, if God didn't want us to eat the animals, then why did he make them out of meat? So the answer to that was for the same reason he made your mother out of meat. My bag is We also got this one. This is nice. This is the Braj Mandal Parikrama. It's a new book. Because if you leave the world of meat, you know, and leave the world of even troublesome Sanskrit grammarians, you know, arguing scholars, and then go to Vrindavan. My map here. Where'd it go? I guess I lost it. Oh, there it is. Yeah. You know. So here's Vrindavan Dham. Yeah. Somewhere here. Oh, isn't this wrong? Wrong chart. Okay, here it is then. If you're all like that, you know. So it's 90 miles south of Delhi, 90 kilometers south of Delhi. And it's like an embassy of the spiritual world. It's not a part of the material world. As soon as you cross the borders of Koshi, like that, you're in a different world controlled by the internal potency. Give the example of somebody is chasing like a criminal in New York, and the criminal runs into the Italian embassy. The police have to ask permission to chase him before they can go inside, because it's not a part of the United States of America. And different laws go on there. Again, the food is different. You know, the business arrangements are different. You know, all the kind of money transfer is different. So when you go to Vrindavan, you know, now you're in the spiritual world like that. And so there's a very nice thing called the Braj Mandal Parikrama. And every year devotees walk all the way around Vrindavan. It takes about 1 month like that. Like 200-300 devotees and bring Kartik. Other traditions go different times, you know, like that. But very traditional. So many fantastic places to visit. So inspiring, you know, so powerful for meditation like that. So one devotee, Jada Bharat, has a very nice description, little bits and pieces of it like that. Like this, that, namaskar. That. Yeah. And so many things. You know, we're developing this culture, you know, more and more. And it becomes in a very, very easy meditation. And the heart of all of this is Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, the Bhagavad Purana. The conclusion of the Bhagavad Purana is Vrindavan Dham, Krishna's pastimes. Like that. And if you go and read these in Vrindavan when you're there, you know, you're at Govardhan thinking about how Krishna's lifting the hill and everything else. It's such an intense experience. You know? And it, not just meditation, Krishna's actually there. His pastimes are still there if you're purified. Even if you aren't purified, right? If you go there. Prabhupada says even if an atheist goes to Vrindavan, he'll feel separation from Krishna. Yeah? A fact. Yeah. Yeah. Rajinikanth, remember him? Famous actor in South India. He was associated with devotees. So devotees took him to Vrindavan one time, and then he came to the Mangala Arati, and they didn't see him after Mangala Arati. He disappeared and came back about like 7:30. So what happened? He said, I decided to walk off. So he walked off like 5 o'clock in the morning, and he said, there's all these problems in my life that started coming up out of me. He said, I was crying for about an hour and a half. This one thing after another was just coming up, and this Krishna was taking care of it. And he came back like this, like feeling this, you know, 20 years of complex problems had been relieved, and you know, about 2 hours of walking around in Vrindavan, like that. Yeah, he's a very fortunate person. Yeah. So, any other questions or comments about Sanskrit philosophy? About prisons, being good places. Yeah. Oh yeah, yes, sir.
You were saying how Microsoft Word is.
Yeah.
You cannot exists in a specific place.
Yeah.
But
it manifests itself in specific places. Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you could say it's a pattern of data, bits that are stored in the memory. So with that, you could say that everything we see around us, even life, you can artificially create it if you know the pattern. So how do we define that philosophy? Because much of our world is a pattern. So similarly, if you know the pattern to life, DNA, then you can maybe have to create life.
It's an interesting philosophy. But following Socrates' argument for this thing, what is this you you're talking about? You're saying you can... Well, what is this I you're talking about? That was his argument. They get the same argument. He said the soul must be different than the body because the body is made of blood, bones, flesh, all these gross things. You know, but we have produced music, art, culture, which are not coming from muscles and fat and meat. You know, so they said, well, yes, but what about a violin? You know, or a lyre? You know, it's made from cat guts. You know, glue, wood. All these gross things, but still out of it comes this very beautiful music. Like that. He said, yes, very interesting argument. It's the same thing. It's DNA or cat guts. It's the same thing, you know, where you're combining them. It's a very interesting argument, and unless I could satisfy you, I couldn't call myself a philosopher. So he said, but the thing is that you're forgetting one thing, you know, which is the violin maker, or also the violin player, two like that. So it's the same point, is that, you know, usually what happens is a lot of things, these arguments, is that the terms that are being used are not rigorous. You know, when you actually start talking about pattern, what's a pattern? If I ask you what a pattern is, you're going to have a hard time discussing what a pattern is, you know, like that. So we really get down to a kind of a rigorous argument, you discover there's so many ambiguities and everything else like that. But the general principle is that you're talking about you can, I can, you know, I don't believe there's a God, you know, like that. Well, you know, like, who? God. You know, there's no God. You know, who? God. You know, well, who is this God? Obviously, it was going to be a very clear, very clear conception of who you're talking about like that, you know. Who is this you don't believe in? The eternal transcendental being who causes all things. You know, he doesn't exist. Are you sure? You know, then why are you so worried about him like that, you know? If, another argument. If he didn't exist, then where's the concept coming from? Why are you so, you know, enthusiastic about it, you know, you know, yeah. You know. So usually, you know, it's the same point. Yeah. It's very strange. You know. No, because the Buddhist, you know, people who really develop these things are like Buddha. Who else? Kanada, Asa, big philosophers. They really get into it, you know. And so, you know, Buddhism is probably saying basically the most prominent, you know, kind of philosophy, you know. And Shunyavad, and you know, so the one of the Buddha's favorite phrases is, "Those who know, do not speak; those who speak, do not know." Just immediate, like you just, you know, look at the person and nod like that. You know, I understand. Thank you. Yeah. Any other comments? Yeah. So Bhagavata is presenting a very simple philosophy of a. You know, the person behind these things, but he's not material. And from the very beginning, you know, it's in the very beginning, it's a rasa shastra. Nigamakalpa talor, galitam phalam. It's a very, very sweet, you know, flavor from this tree. And that's what you should relish, is the whole text. You're just hearing Prabhupada's reading like that. It's so nice what he's writing, the translations, the purports. It's just like, you know, in some ways, as we discussed, it's very difficult to read these things. I remember when I first got one book, it was the Krishna book. It was probably published the 10th canto as a separate book like that with commentary, you know. And he did it in like about 13-point type or something. It was a very big type, you know. So beyond 11 points, you start seeing each word. Less than 11 points, you can just read without noticing the words. But beyond that, it becomes headlines. And so then I didn't realize that, but I was just taking every word and, like, you know, I would go over each sentence and I would form it until it was just the right way. You know, the concept was there like that. You know? So as books, you can just get lost in, like, one sentence, like that, and, you know. And it's iconographic. That relates to the whole purport. Everything is there. You know? And so finally, the spiritual world is so big, you have to have a guru, right? You know, to find out what your position in the spiritual world is, even after liberation, you still need a guru, you know, to find your position in the whole process like that. Because you know, Krishna is so unlimited. You know? Yeah. And then it's like, you know, becomes very, very nice when I'm like that. So, Srimad Bhagavatam ki. And if you haven't got a set, where do you go? Gopal, right here. I'm willing to sell you a full set. And if you're not ready for that, you can buy the Krishna book. Right? Yeah. So many nice books. And then, you know, when you're going to work, you can listen, you know, to cassettes, DVDs, you know. Talk to your friends during work. Right? Yeah. So anything else? A little more kirtan and prasadam? Yeah. Yeah. So you chant a little bit. This is very nice, actually, this Jayarada Madhava. Prabhupada was in, it's very short, Jayarada Madhava Kunja Bihari. It's like four lines, but it's a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he has many other songs like that, short ones. So when Prabhupada was in Gorakhpur, you know, visiting Hanuman Prasad Padar, this great saint, founder of Gita Press, Hanuman Prasad Padar was at the end of his life. He was sitting in the bed. He couldn't talk. So before Prabhupada left for America, he'd helped, you know, as best he could to push on this movement like that, and gave some very good help, you know. And so Prabhupada came back and was visiting him, and he went to see him. And he tried to get up, and he couldn't get up. And Prabhupada just kind of motioned, no, "Still stay, just rest like that." And he couldn't talk. And Prabhupada said, "It's all right." So they just sat together, like looking at each other. You know, for maybe 45 minutes, not saying anything, but the boys were saying, you could see like there was just like this exchange going on. And Prabhupada was just chanting in his beads like that or something. And there was something like, there was this realization going on about, you know, two of them like that. So during his life, Hanuman Prasad Padar was supposed to have seen Krishna, you know, about three times. They had an artist draw the picture, and he was describing that how Krishna looked. And Krishna has so many names, Gopijana Balaba, you know, Radhika Raman. And also, so he was always calling him Madhava, right? So the next morning after that, then Prabhupada started chanting Jayarada Madhava, right before the Bhagavatam class. And he went into like an ecstatic trance and stopped talking and lost external consciousness for some time like that, you know? So maybe remembering Hanuman Prasad Padar and everything else, he was this, and it became a part of our whole culture like that. So everything is there. It's very short, but you can chant it for hours on end if you want to. Meditating on Krishna and Radha, enjoying in the groves of Vrindavan, you know, and with the other gopis, you know. He's the beloved boyfriend of all the gopis. Like that, right? Yeah. Yeah. All the husbands are very jealous of Krishna. You know. It's a very interesting situation like that. Like that. Very, yeah. Discuss it later. Gopijana Balaba. And what else does he do? He lifts Govardhan Hill like that to protect all of Radharani's friends and everybody. Yeah. Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana. He's a beloved little boy of Yashoda. Yeah, Braja Jana Ranjana. Everybody's enlivened by Krishna. Funny things he does, everything else like that. So it makes everybody alive. And funny, Jamuna Tiravana. Achari, he's wandering in the forest on the bank of the Jamuna. If you want to have a very straightforward relationship with God, you should probably worship Jehovah or Allah or Narayan. But Krishna is a very, what's the word, very crooked fellow like that. So if you worship Krishna, your spiritual life is going to be full of all kinds of like, very like, you know, duplicitous things. My friend Krita Karma, a devotee, he was having a hard time in Vrindavan. There were some different kind of people falling into illicit relationships, and he was blamed for this. He became very angry at Krishna, and he said, okay, that's it. I'm never going to associate with ever again. He wrote to his sister. She sent the money for an airplane ticket back from India. On the airplane, he intentionally ordered alcohol just to prove to Krishna that he was finished. He almost died forcing himself to drink it. Then he arrived back in San Francisco, and you know, all these different things happened. It's very interesting. But when he left, though, he said, all right, if you're a just God, honest guy, then I've worked so hard for you for so long, so now you owe me. something like that. And I'm leaving, and I'm going to go to the material world, but I want lots of money. I want to have lots of money. You know, I want to be surrounded by this stuff, you know. So he's looking for a job for some time, this and that. And finally, he got a job in the San Francisco Mint. And that's where they make the coins, right? So the guys are moving these big bags of coins around and steel, iron, nickel bars. And they give free hernia operations to the employees because you get so many people rupturing that. So at one point, he's staggering all this money around. And he realizes, he's like, okay. It's like, come on, you know that's not what I meant. So again, Jehovah's straightforward. So that afternoon, he was in a bar, and a guy sitting next to him, he started talking to him. And the guy had a language institute with two more silent partners, all PhDs. And he had like five students in the language institute. They're looking for a manager. So he took over. Within 1 year, they had 500 students. Like that, you know, and of course he was making money like anything. You know, they were going like one for that partner, three for you, three for me, one for this. Like they were like, you know, so on. So Krishna's Jamunatira Vanachari, he's kind of a, what's the word, like tricky guy, like that. Is that a little more? Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopijana Balava Giribara Dari Yashoda Nandana Bhajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vana Chari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Gopijana Balabha Giribara Dari Gopijana Balabha Giribara Dari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Namuna Tira Vanasari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Gopijana Balabha Girivara Dari Girivara Dari Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Randana Yamuna Tira Vanasari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Gopi Janna Balaba Giri Varadari. Yashoda Nandana Raja Janarandana. Namuna Kira Vanasari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hare. Krishna Bhagavan ki jai, Pati Radha Rani ki jai, Jai Vrinda. Our host go. And now, Jai Mahaprasadam Ki.
Are you criticizing the state penal system?
Not in public.
Is that still recorded?
Not in public?
One for this problem?
So how much I missed the lecture?
About 45 minutes.
No.
It's an hour. Okay, about 2 hours. You didn't miss it.
I know that. You know, because I had to start this lecture right when I came in.
Yeah.
So 7:45 after the
Did you turn it off?
No, I don't know. I was going to help you with this.